Today on the show, Radical Ones, Bill Murray is back among the ghosts. It's 1988's Scrooged.
He's fired?
But it's Christmas.
Thank you. Call accounting. Stop his bonus.
It's time to get radical.
Hello there. It's showtime.
What is this, trick or treat?
Too late!
Did I do that?
Good morning, Charlie.
Deal with it.
Daddy would have gotten us
Uzis.
The power is yours.
Get down, honey, get down.
Yeah.
And look, I won't go far, okay? If the
apocalypse
comes,
hold
your fire. I'm a human.
My name is Grace Jones.
Thunder.
Power 3 will set us free.
Power 3
will set us free.
But I'm one to gossip, so if anyone asks you, you ain't heard it from me.
No,
you have.
No more room in hell. The dead.
Welcome back, Radical Ones, to another episode of the Radical Retro Rewind podcast. As always, I am your host, Radical Ryan Hunter, here with Rob, the movie geek himself, and everyone's favorite brother, David, for our holiday celebration. Hi, guys.
Hello. Hi.
Hi there.
Radical Ones, here we are. It is the end of another year. Some of us are another year older, and so is this podcast.
I got into broadcasting because I like to give.
Hey, that's my cab!
Sometimes I found myself hurting from giving too much.
Fire these people!
But it's Christmas.
Bah humbug.
You are going to be visited by three ghosts. Expect the first one tomorrow at noon.
God, tomorrow's bad for me, Lou.
I'm the ghost.
I'm the ghost of Christmas present.
I had a funny feeling.
I can't get the antlers glued onto this little guy.
Have you tried staples?
Don't you dare.
You're so happy, but so poor.
She made me do purees.
Maybe?
Yeah, probably.
May I?
The weirdest day!
It's never too late. You can always change if you want to.
I've never liked a girl enough to give her 12 sharp knives.
For a couple of hours out of the whole year, we are the people that we always hoped we would be.
Did I forget something, big man?
God bless us, everyone.
Today's movie is such a classic. As I was looking at the schedule this year, I know two of my co-hosts absolutely loved this movie. I definitely appreciate it, but I knew that this would be a perfect one to highlight our December. Not only is it a comedy, drama, and you get so many Christmas staples all in one movie. So, gentlemen, let's talk about it. It is 1988's Scrooge, which is rated PG-13. And do you love this? It was advertised with the tagline, Bill Murray is back among the ghosts. Only this time, it's three against one.
I love that tagline so much. It's so good and clearly used for the Ghostbusters audience, right? Like, this is, peak advertising, I think, back in the day. I love that tagline, and it's so true. My thing is with Scrooge is that I just love sort of modern adaptations to things. And I've always been appreciative of the Christmas Carol storyline, right? So there's just so many different variations out there that capture this outline of a story. And I just think even with the title, it's a verb, right? Like, you've been Scrooged, and that I just think is so funny. And you could take this outline and put it towards any type of movie. It could be a rom-com, it could be a horror, anything. Because it's just so adaptable. And I just liked what they did with it. Just 80s New York. Yeah, I just think it's a really good movie. But this is one of my yearly traditions. I do watch this every year. It is my Christmas Carol. And I said this in the last episode. Yep. I did. I like everybody's all about the Muppets and the James and the Patrick Stewarts and the Michael Caines. This
trash.
Is my
no.
I know, right? No. This is my Christmas Carol. I've said it. No retraction. Did I stutter?
I think it's great because we get it. We love the classics in a way, but not everyone wants to sit down and watch Victorian people prance around a town and go through the whole thing like that. So if you're able to update this story, like Rob's saying, the modern setting, I'm all for it too, because it's been done. The Scrooge, the three ghosts. David, tell us.
I'm really happy that Rob suggested this movie because honestly, I forgot about this movie and it's a real gem. I want to tell you a funny little anecdote about this. I told my husband we had to watch this for the podcast. He had never seen it before.
Oh.
He's searching for the movie to like find it on our television. He's typing in the word screwed. He thought the movie was called Scrooge. I said, it's a Christmas Carol. It's a modern take on like the Christmas Carol, you know, like Scrooge. It's called Scrooge. He thought I said screwed. So...
But you know what?
Did he end up renting Scrooge before you figured out? Because there is a movie called Scrooge.
No.
Is there really? And yeah, is it R-rated?
I was yelling at him. No, yes. It's like... I was like, no, it's Scrooged. So we got it. But I just thought that was hysterical.
Yeah, Dave Chappelle, Danny DeVito, Norm MacDonald. They are three people who started a company to act revenge out of people who hired them.
I completely forgot about that movie. Holy crap.
Yeah.
So there you go. That could have been the holiday episode had we gone in a different way. Like when you watch the European cut or the American cut of Legend, and Rob and I had watched the one with the singing.
It sounds like your husband needs to be on here. What did he think?
He actually really liked it. I'm shocked because he doesn't like anything.
I was just going to say, Mike, David's husband, is not pop culture savvy, right? Would you say like nothing about pop culture?
What do y'all talk about?
We are definitely polar opposites in every possible way. Every possible way.
That's lovely.
Yeah, he really enjoyed it. I always ask him the same thing. This is my gauge for my husband. With food, I say, would you eat it again? I can't say, did you like it? Did it taste good? Because that he'll never really give me an answer. I said, would you eat it again? Yes, I would eat it again. Or no, I wouldn't eat it again. So I said, would you watch this movie again? Yes, I would watch this movie again. So that means you liked it.
There you go. That's a testament, I think, of this movie. Because this could go, I feel like if you weren't in that time period, some people might say,
I also want to say one thing. The mother from the Goonies is in it.
Yes. Donner brings her everywhere. He is the Tim Burton of wife job giving. No, Donner was involved in Death Becomes Her. That's why she has a cameo in it, Miss Mary Elliott. And, you know, the Goonies. You've also got my favorite episode of Tales from the Crypt ever. She is the literal star of And All Through the House because Donner directed that episode. So, yeah, he brings her along. So, Lethal Weapon, that's Donner. You see she's the psychiatrist in the police department. Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, those two are like this. So, yeah.
So you're saying Tim Burton, but also now I'm getting Rob Zombie. Is this
pretty much?
You will be the female lead in the
pretty much. I love that she stood out for you. Yeah, she. I don't know. I just like her. I just like her. So I notice her every time too. But question for you guys though: would you guys have liked a musical, or do you think that it would have ruined the aesthetic or tone? Because I know they were going for black comedy, but.
Yes.
Wouldn't in the 90s, would that have been a nice time to still incorporate the songs just like all the other adaptations had?
I think on my take of things, Rob, I'm glad there's no songs. I like the music we did get with the cast bursting into song in the credits kind of thing. That's great for me. I think, again, with this modern take, I appreciate no song. Leave that to the Muppets. Leave that to the other ones we mentioned earlier.
The only way I feel like it would have worked for me would have been if it was like that Buffy episode, the musical, where somehow the spirits of Christmas forced them to sing.
Ooh.
That would be the only way I would have been okay with it. Otherwise, no.
Gotcha.
I liked it the way it was.
The tongue-in-cheek of it all, of the atmosphere, the environment being a television studio that is also filming A Christmas Carol. So they are completely aware of the story. It's not like Bill Murray was visited by three ghosts and they have never heard of the concept. Like, he mocks the fact that, oh, we're going to go through this and you're going to cheat. You know, I love that they were aware, because you know movies who just don't know what zombies are, and that shit pisses me off.
Yes, Rob. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I like that they were, you know, aware of what's going on. So that was good.
And it was able to play into the plot so well. So right from the beginning, I have to mention the opening fake commercials are truly the highlight of this movie. And it's like the first minute for me.
7 o'clock. Psycho sees Santa's workshop.
Eat this.
And only Lee Majors can stop them. The night the reindeer die.
We get The Night the Reindeer Died, which is a Santa Claus action movie that includes the $6 million man.
You know that's what Red One was based on, right?
I was just going to say, is this Red One that's out here now? Thank you.
It's 10 o'clock. IBC presents live via satellite from New York, Bethlehem, Helsinki, West Berlin, and the Great Barrier Reef, Charles Dickens' immortal Christmas classic, Scrooge. Starring Buddy Hackett, Jamie Farr, the Solid Gold Dancers, and Mary Lou Retton as Tiny Tim. Hosted by Sir John Houseman.
Bah,
Scrooge, humbug. It will touch your every heartstring. That's right, it all starts on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve on IBC. You'll love it.
Oh my God, the Solid Gold Dancers. The fact that... This is, oh my God, is that what you're going to laugh at? Mary Lou Retton as Tiny Tim. She is, for anyone who doesn't know, she is an American gymnast from, I mean, the 80s. She was a really big name back then.
She was on Wheaties boxes. Cereal boxes.
Exactly. Cereal boxes. She was a thing back then. And so to have this Christmas Carol, have her as Tiny Tim doing a flip, I was dead.
You know who loves Mary Lou Retton, Frank? My kids.
Yeah.
Children, love, and acrobat.
But also, what about the Cajun Christmas music commercial? I feel like that was another thing that was just one of those Christmas commercials that would have been on in the late 80s and the 90s.
And America's best loved singer invites you to share a homestyle holiday. When it's Bob Goulet's old-fashioned Cajun Christmas.
Genius.
With what was his name?
Robert Goulet. Goulet,
which is like so funny because, okay, so when I was a kid, I would mix him up with a few different people. I would mix him up with George Hamill, the guy with the really bad tan. I would confuse him with, what's the guy who is the Hawaiian, Don Ho? No. Is that who the guy he used to sing to in Vegas?
Oh, yes. I know who you're talking about. Yes.
And I would also mix him up with Tom Jones. All the time, like
when I was,
so like I could see where he would be like the Tom Jones light, like the cheaper, no offense to him, cheaper version of doing this Cajun Christmas thing. So that totally like hit the mark for me. I was hysterical with that, with the alligators and everything.
I am very curious who he is like in person, because like he does this, he does Beetlejuice, he does The Simpsons, and it's always either making fun of himself or just his profession in general. And I just think he is a fun guy. Like, he's just up for anything. And
when you
I
can
wonder,
laugh at yourself.
Yeah, I wonder what the rest of his sort of filmography is like, if he has any. I'm assuming he's a singer first, though.
He's like Charo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
It's like Charo. She's just there, and you're like, and it's the Vatican starring Charo. And you're like, Where the hell did she come in?
Goulet.
She was fabulous when I saw her live.
Every time I see him, it's just, Charles, we want to see some ghosts. That's all I see when I see that face. This is like, Charles.
Comic Book Club News gives you the comic book news you need to know first thing in the morning every weekday in the form of digestible 3 to 5 minute long podcasts. Comic Book Club News recaps breaking news stories from Marvel, DC Comics, and beyond, Monday through Friday. New episodes drop 6 a.m. ET in the Comic Book Club News feed, so they're ready for you when you're ready for the day. Comic Book Club News. You hear it second or third, possibly fourth.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Coming on video cassette from Paramount. Spend the holidays with Bill Murray.
Watch out.
As he learns the true meaning of Christmas.
Thanks, boys. Get the nurse.
Whether he likes it.
I'm the ghost of Christmas present.
Or not. See Bill Murray get Scrooged. Reserve your copy today.
What do you think about this thing where Christmas movies, Christmas stories always seem to have this dark slash spooky side to them? And this is dating back to the Christmas Carol.
Krampus?
I don't have facts, but I have a feeling that, like all things American tradition, has been watered down and made family friendly to hide the fact that this stuff comes from deep-rooted dark stuff.
Yes.
And so if we really want to talk about what Christmas was back in the day, like, we're not ready. And that's the thing. We've always been given this soft cookie cutter version of a lot of things for profit. And you know, that's what it is. And I'll talk about that in one of my recommendations later. But yeah, there's always these stories out there about sort of the mythology, the, you know, the origin of some of these things. And like, you know, you don't necessarily hear about Krampus as much, but that stuff is quote unquote real in that. And, you know, or etched or inspired, you know, like
right.
The things that really are happening or said to be happening is then adapted to fit sort of what we know now. So
Disneyitized all the classics. Mm-hmm. The Little Mermaid did not live happily ever after with
exactly.
Prince Eric.
Yeah, there's so Tom many
was cut out.
I agree.
He's absolutely right. The things that we hold dear and cherish have been watered down, like pumpkins. Really, we're put out to like hold back evil spirits, right? For Halloween and things like that. It's like
gourds, yeah.
Like the things that we do are not, you know, we've made it pretty and changed it. And I mean, I cherish that. I would not want to be putting a pumpkin out of my front yard to hold back evil spirits thinking that they're going to attack me at any moment.
I don't know. I kind of find that endearing that the pumpkin would protect you. I'll put it out. So along those... I'll put out the pumpkin, David.
Plug it in. I'll just put in a Glade plug-in with the pumpkin scent instead.
You know what my favorite random thing that I've been seeing the last few years is the Yule Cat. Have you guys seen that online? The Yule Cat?
No.
A giant, and I want to say this was in Scandinavia or some kind of Switzerland. It's a giant cat that if you did not get new clothes for Christmas and wear them, the cat would come and eat you. A gigantic
Jeez.
Cat. He's the Yule Cat. So we all hope you get some kind of new clothes for Christmas, radical ones. We don't want a giant cat to eat you. Look it up. It's interesting. We also get a very familiar face if you grew up in the 80s and you liked comedy movies. And the voice, you know who I'm going to say? Bobcat Goldsworth. You know that voice? I can't do the voice, but the voice, radical ones.
I love that he was in this movie. And, you know, I wanted to get you guys' opinion of how do you like his all cleaned up, bow tie wearing, glasses, giving us suddenly Seymour realness.
Excuse me, sir. I don't want to be out of line here, but, well, we've been running that spot now for over a month, and, well, it's getting a hell of a response.
What do you think?
I
loved it too. I
found him endearing.
Dare I say handsome in this movie?
Yeah.
It's like a big change from Police Academy.
Exactly. A difference.
And,
exactly.
You know, I'm going to assume that this is his natural voice, you know, because the other guy is definitely a character. And, you know, when he gets drunk, he has an excuse to go back into his comedic wiles. But I believe this is his original voice. And he just sounded so sweet. I'm surprised he never got any roles like that, you know, like not to say that he was typecasted or if he decided to just lean into his other character. But I would have loved to have seen him like this, because it seems he has range. It
truly, I kept saying, where's the voice? When's the voice gonna come out? Rob just sent this to me. Gilbert Gottfried's real voice on an answering machine. Like, these actors that don't use their normal voices and they're always in character blows your mind when you hear them.
Yeah, the Gilbert Gottfried one, my goodness. You gotta send that to David if he hasn't heard it. It's insane.
So he has a totally different voice?
Normal!
Apparently he was on SNL and he didn't really talk in that other voice the whole time. Like, you could hear him do his other voice in skits, and it's like D too. Like, oh, wow. If it's true, that's the other thing too. I mean, it's not like I got it off New York Times. Like, this was on Instagram. But if it is true, like, my God.
It was like a voicemail that he left, and it was just like, hi, how are you? Oh my. Oh.
So it's like Britney Spears singing the baby voice, Britney.
Oh, Paris baby, Hilton. Baby.
Yeah, Ariana does it too. Yeah.
Yes, she does. Thank you for saying that, Rob.
But I think she's changing that now. She's changing that now. Mm. She's got her other half now.
We're holding space for Alphabas, defying gravity. Alphabas
girlfriend, they're everywhere, man. They're everywhere. All they do is cry on every interview and grab each other. It's like she found the other part of her. I hope that's a real friendship and a relationship, because if it isn't, it would break my heart.
They need bonded to hold each other. Mm, that's how it is.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
That's how we're all like.
But anyway, I digress. Yes.
9 o'clock. IBC presents America's favorite family in a special Christmas episode.
Hi, Mom. Where's Dad? Should have been home by now.
Well, Wally, if I know your father, he's out chasing beaver.
Father loves beaver. Here on IBC, you'll love it.
We mentioned this earlier. The whole film revolves around they are making this live music production that's going to air on TV. Did this predate our ABC musical specials live? Grease, you know, Hairspray live on TV.
Rent.
Scrooge was doing it first.
Yeah, they did a lot of things first. Apparently, there are channels out there now that are centered around cats and dogs watching TV. So, you know, yes, they were on to something. They were definitely on to something.
There is so much going on in this movie. So many nuances, so many one-liners. I couldn't even keep up, to be honest with you. Normally, when I watch a movie for the podcast, I have my phone out and I write notes as I'm watching it, depending on where I, you know, stop stuff, but I couldn't even keep up. I mean,
no.
I laughed at so many things and thought so many things were well written. And so, like, as these spirits are visiting him, it's different than the original, because the original Scrooge is in his house and everything takes place when he comes from each Christmas past, present, future. He goes back to his home. In this movie, he goes back to a live sound studio where they're actually recording a show. Definitely, I love that, because people think he's going crazy, basically, because he's
so funny.
You know, he goes from, you know, this surreal world back to the real world, but it's not the real world because it's a sound studio and actually people are acting.
The restaurant scene with the eyeball, and then the whole thing that when he's making his way out is so good.
I love that scene too, because it's like, it's noon, you need to meet the ghost, we can't have you in this restaurant, you gotta leave. And so they kept messing with him to get him to leave.
The waiter's on fire.
Yeah, I just like the way they did that. And, you know, Bill Murray improvised most of his lines, right? So that Richard Pryor thing was totally just pulled out of his ass.
Richard Pryor.
There's no way the writers wrote that. That is ridiculous. Even if it was Richard Pryor, what does that mean?
Why would you throw water on him?
Exactly.
I'm sorry. You know, I thought you were Richard Pryor.
And I've thought about this for the last 20 years. I could swear up and down, never had proof until this morning, that when he tripped on his way out, it was not in the script, and it was not in the script. It's based on the fact that he threw water on the waiter and it like trickled everywhere. He tripped and they kept it. I thought that was hilarious.
Gold.
But it's just so wild, because when you're acting, like, you don't break character. You slip, you get up, and you leave. If they want to say cut, they will say cut. You do not have to be like, oh my God, I messed up. Let's start over. He just left and they kept it. And it's one of my favorite parts of this movie. It is hilarious. It is hilarious. But I do love that scene. And I will go on record in this review saying that Christmas Past is my favorite Ghost. I love his antics, his menacing laugh. Like, I don't want him laughing at me because it would break my heart. He has the most sarcastic, like, menacing laugh ever. But I just think he's hilarious. But he really, you know, brought him down a peg, just being like, your life sucks. You never had one. You've been like this for the whole time. You haven't done I just like him. And just the aesthetics of being a taxi cab in the way of traveling back through time, I think is great too. And just his entrance, he just goes,
so smart.
I'm the Ghost, and has that giant smile. I was like, this is some creepy stuff, but it's good.
Relax, Frank. Enjoy the ride.
How do you know my name?
I know absolutely everything, Frank. You see, I'm the Ghost.
Cue in Danny Elfman music. Oh my God, I'm so glad he's a part of
it. Yeah, we didn't even mention the Danny Elfman score. Oh, of course he would be part of this.
So good.
Christmas Past even interacts with our Bobcat on the street, grabbing the liquor from his hand. It's like everything is connected, much like Rob and I were talking about with Mouse Hunt last week. Things that come in one scene go to the other, and he was giving me Christmas Past. I was getting like little monsters from him.
For
like
sure.
The look, honestly, when he took him back and we see that little Frank was basically put in front of the television set to raise him. Now, tell me this is not like a tale as old as time.
Of course.
So many, I feel like, listeners could understand this, have maybe had this happen. David mentioned in Thundercats, like recently, like, what is it called? The Latchkey Kids?
Latchkey Kid.
Where you brought, you know, you came home from school, you would, you know, put on your cartoons maybe, and, you know, you're waiting for your parents to come home. This is really real, and tell me someone would not grow up like Frank did and be obsessed with television at the same time. Like, I think that is so smart. That is the generation we come from, where, you know, that television, I feel like, kid.
Why are we on a podcast, gentlemen?
Exactly.
Let me tell you a tale of all this time is that mom's smoking while she's pregnant.
Oh my God.
Damn. You know what, though? That brother seems like he turned out okay,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it looked like he turned out a little short, but, you know, like, he turned out okay.
We didn't know you couldn't smoke and drink. We didn't know to wear seatbelts. We didn't know.
You know that's his real dad, right?
I was just going to say that Bill Murray's whole family, basically, was in this movie. His brothers.
Yeah, that's his real father.
Oh, that's really cool.
So crazy.
That's really cool. Can we talk about Alfre Woodard for a little bit? I love her. I was just watching Love and Basketball. I always look at her more like, even though I've seen her in like different parts, like more serious, like she had some good comedic timing here with her, almost like her annoyance with Frank, how arrogant and how stupid he is, that she's like, really?
It was the gift list for me, where,
oh God, yeah,
Grace is going down the employees, the people in his family, and he's giving everyone towels.
Okay, read me the list. I want to get this over with.
Sammy Goldberg.
Bethel.
Lou Parker.
Send him a VHS home video recorder.
Colonel Tom Parker.
The bath towel.
Tamara Forstall.
VHS.
By the way, did not remember that the towels were embroidered with the TV company. Not even nice towels. I love that she's like, where's my bonus? And he's like, a face cloth too.
Yeah.
Man.
Dude, oh my God. And when her husband died and they said, don't you remember the time when Grace wore black for a year?
For a year!
I didn't know that Grace's husband had died.
Oh, Frank, don't you remember that period when she wore black for a year?
I remember her wearing black, but I thought it was a fashion thing. I mean, people were wearing black, you know.
Oh, Frank, my poor Frank.
I almost died. I almost died. Or when... There's a part where the solid gold dancer, so something
nipples,
you mentioned is that the sensor is always getting hurt on, they keep hitting her with props and different, and they say, she says, you can see her nipples, and Frank goes, Dickens would want to see her nipples.
Specifically, you can see her nipples.
I want to see her nipples.
But this is a Christmas show.
Well, Charles Dickens would have wanted to see her nipples then.
You can hardly see them nipples.
See, and these guys are really looking.
Hysterical.
No, hysterical. She does have great timing. I really did like her role and her family in this, especially if it's to take the role of, you know, the other family who we see in the present time. I love her line. It's so stupid, but it's in the beginning when they're done with the meeting. And, you know, Cross is like, what the hell is that? Oh, it's a drawing my kids made. It's Mr. Claus and Mrs. Claus. Honey, how many fingers does Mrs. Santa Claus have? She goes, 11. And I cry on the floor every time she says it, because she says it with, like, I know,
yes,
but I'm still proud and I'm going to say it, 11. I was dying. I was dying.
Grace, what in the hell is this?
Well, that's a painting one of my kids did. There's Santa Claus and there's Mrs. Claus.
Honey, how many fingers does Mrs. Santa Claus have here?
11.
11. Right. It's crap. Lose it. I don't want it on the wall.
I like the fact that her son wasn't terminally ill.
Yes, thank God.
Again, very more of a modern take. And I like the fact that she brought him to the studio. I didn't like the fact that Frank was so mean to him, a child.
Because they yelled at him.
Me off that he was a dick to him. But obviously that turned out for the best.
This is my little boy.
All right, you beat him. Does he work here?
No, he does not. I thought it would be fun for him to see a live television show.
You see anybody having fun here?
What did you think about sort of his transition into caring? Because the minute he saw that they were having trouble, he was just like, oh, I'll help him. We'll figure it out. Oh, we'll give her a raise. And it's like, dude, you've known all of this. You took a taxi from an old woman and flipped her off. But yet the minute you go to this woman's home, you're like, oh, I'll give her a raise because they live so poor. And it's like, I don't know. It didn't feel, but you guys tell me in the other renditions, is it easy for him to transition into caring so quickly or really seeing the error of his ways? It's just like, this has been spelled out for you for ages. I don't know why this specific situation is giving you pause about how you do things. After he came back from the past, he wasn't fixed, right? Like, he was still, you know, an asshole to Claire, but it just still felt like he kind of was just like, no, we're going to help this boy out. But it seemed a little too rushed, in my opinion. But I don't know what the natural transition would be.
I feel like in the original story, I think that Scrooge really, for the loss of his love, really hit him hard. I also think when he was a Fizzywigs, that was his original guy. I think that he felt the love of that, and he immediately, because of the loss that he felt, and he truly lost that love. See, the difference is, I feel like Frank is a little delusional. I think the other Scrooge was just a hardened, real a-hole and like obsessed with money. I think Frank had a different thing. I think Frank, because there's a part where Frank like starts talking about different parts of his life, but it's really actually, he's talking
TV
about
shows, yes.
TV shows that he equates that he thinks are part, yes. He literally believes that he was part of his life. So I think Frank is more delusional in a way about his life, where the original Scrooge, there is no TV at the Dickens time, real Dickens time, obviously. So I really feel like that Scrooge felt the loss of his true love and, you know, his original job when he worked for Fizzywig and all these different things. Yeah, I do agree, because I will say the only part of Bill Murray's
speech
acting was... Oh, yeah. Slightly off for me. I didn't think it was bad, but it wasn't like, I didn't feel it was like ultra genuine almost.
You mean at the end?
It came through because that was the lines and everything, but it didn't come, it was almost like the comedic in him was maybe too comedic.
I thought when he broke down at the end with the tears, I believed him. I thought that was real acting for him, because I do think the natural would be just the tongue in cheek and blah, 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 wacky, wacky, wacky. So, but to Rob's point, is it a little fast?
I think yeah. So. I think, but maybe his disillusion was broken though. Like he actually saw up front, like, this is how they live.
I do like how you explained it. I mean, I don't know if the term would be avoidance, but he clearly needed to shield all of those lost feelings he had, because Christmas just reminds him of all of his milestones that have been bad for him. So he just put all of his, you know, place in his career, and any touch of Christmas would just remind him of things that he doesn't have anymore. So yeah, let's just go into my job. I will say that giving Bill Murray the opportunity to be a villain, I personally think he pulled it off, because especially for a comedy, because he's super sarcastic. You honestly don't know when he's for real or play. It like his lines and the way that he delivers stuff, it could go both ways. And I think that was a very good touch to his villainy, because he would just say a lot of stuff that you could take offense to, but it's really just funny. You know, like when he was in the meeting and he hated the commercial, and he goes, I have to kill all of you.
Now I have to kill all of you.
I believed him, but clearly he was joking. And it's just, I just like that. I just thought he was a really villainous boss.
I have two thoughts. It's so funny because normally I wouldn't like somebody who would be so nasty and like undercutting somebody. But I got such a laugh out of all the lines that I kind of just went with his character like that. But when you're saying these lines are coming out, why do I feel like though this is Bill Murray
for real?
Allegedly.
Yeah.
For entertainment purposes. He is like this, evidently, on set.
I mean, Lucy Liu. He had problems with Donner. They did not have the best relationship on this movie. But Donner wasn't a saint either. But, like, yeah, he wasn't feeling him. So, it could be. Them SNL folks have been traumatized on set, man, because they walk out of there just mad. They have a work ethic that just don't mess around with. Chevy Chase the same way, allegedly.
Yes, and it's always these great comedic people that always have these other sides. But God, is it genius when you get it right?
We've always said this. Comedians go to the darkest place. Oh, sure. Comedians are some of the darkest people in the world.
And
go through some of the dark. Robin Williams, typical example of how darkness and how bad something can be. And on the outside, you would think this person is the most happiest, funniest, easygoing, laughs away its life, you know, literally laughs life. And no, not so much.
Good thing is with Robin, at least he was a pleasure from all accords on the set. It's nothing worse, you know, working with somebody that is just holding up everything. And just to that point, Bill Murray did say that the script was so good, maybe there's one take in the final cut, though, that is mine. We made it so fast, it was like doing a movie live. He kept telling me to do things louder, meaning Richard Donner. I think he was deaf. This is what Bill Murray said. And somehow still pulled off this amazing movie. He did ad-lib, like Rob was saying earlier, most of his lines. Richard Donner said, directing him, it's like standing on 42nd Street on Broadway and the lights are out and you're the traffic cop. I can imagine two strong then personalities when someone's ad-libbing half of the script and you're trying to keep a movie together. Disaster.
Yeah, can I say that even for a comedy, like when it needed to be drama, it was drama.
Drama, yes.
I felt the break up. I felt him crying for his mom. Even in the future, when, you know, Claire is throwing the kids away in that, you know, pseudo, you know, future thing, her face is painted white. She is, you know, obviously just over it. And like she thanks him and then sheds a tear as she's just smiling at her money. You know, that was real to me. I you know, like I was able to lose myself in the movie to just be like, these are some real stuff. This is some real stuff. What I didn't understand, I don't know if this is a product of a cut scene or whatever, but you know, Bill Murray's giving a speech and he stops to say hello to Wendy and Wendy just has like a moment. I'm like, was there a moment where he didn't like her or
stunned
her?
Yes.
Like I didn't understand that because he made a point to say hello to her specifically. And I'm like, even when they were visiting him in the house, I didn't see that she was disregarded by him or anything. It was just a weird moment. So I'm like, is this from a deleted scene that I don't know about? Because I bet you
there is a lot of deleted scenes.
A toast to my brother Frank. I wish he was here.
You're too good.
Frank, the richest man you know.
Do you remember if she encouraged her husband or discouraged her husband, Frank's brother, to not reach out to his brother anymore? Because Frank loves his brother. He did make that clear very early on in the movie. He loves his brother. He thinks he's foolish for embracing Christmas, but he loves his brother. He does love his brother.
Yeah, yes. Yes.
I mean, when he was visiting, you know, she goes, look, you invite him every year and he never shows up. He always says work. You know, when are you going to get the, you know, the hint to stop inviting him? Maybe that was the moment. But her reaction, I still didn't understand why she felt so like connected to that. Hello.
I agree. I think it could possibly be that this is just supposed to be subtext of years of infighting maybe and things like that. But I do feel like there's probably deleted scenes in there, especially when you're ad-libbing and things like that. So just to speak of that scene, he was supposed to get towels, but Grace, our secretary, sent the brother a VCR for Christmas. And at the time of release, of course, the cost of a typical player was from $500 to $1,500.
Love it.
We never had no $1,500 player as far as I know in our family, but
love that.
They were expensive. When I do a flashback, when Madonna was on her first Material Girl tour, your brother Michael got a VHS tape from The Wiz. Anybody that's from New York knows The Wiz was a shop that was there.
And not the show, the Broadway show, The Wiz.
$100 for a VHS tape.
Never in my life.
Something that always sticks in my mind because I thought it was ridiculous then and it's still ridiculous now.
On that scene though, I am way too competitive that I would give him piano as the correct answer. Sorry, you got that wrong. I am not giving that to you. That was insane. Those are totally two different
I agree.
Instruments. I would have never.
On the Adams family, what musical instrument did Lurch play?
Piano.
I may be invisible, but I'm not deaf!
We're gonna say piano.
Harpsichord. James, you go.
Oh, you know that.
Everybody knows that.
That's like saying cello versus violin. Oh, yeah, just give it to him. No. But it is his house, so maybe they were just being nice.
I would have said piano, too.
Well, it makes sense to say it, but that's not what it is. So
no, that's not what it is.
I would have easily been like, nope, you got that wrong.
Another thing that makes a frequent appearance in this movie is Tab Soda. I want to say within the last 10 years disappeared. I remember it saying it was going to be discontinued 10, 15. I'll give it 15 to be extra.
Is it made
cautious.
With saccharin? Is Tab made with saccharin?
I don't know. I just remember there being a thing that they said basically that no one drinks it anymore, so they were going to discontinue it. But darn, do I want to have a little Tab right now after watching this movie. It must have been a sponsor because Tab was the drink. If it wasn't alcohol with a dash of Tab, it was Tab Soda in its pink can gloriness.
Another one of my favorite lines, bitch hit me with a toaster.
Oh, I love a girl with spirit. So good. I mean, how can we go this entire review without talking about Carol Kane? This role was hers. I don't know if she longed for hitting and beating up Bill Murray, but she killed it. That was such comedic genius, like that whole scene. And I also think it's very, I don't know what the word I'm thinking of, but I love the fact that we're dealing with a man who is so despicable. Like, he needed to be woken up. Like, you need to get your ass kicked to understand how evil you are. And I'm going to do it right now. We're going to deal with this. And the other thing, because she's present, right? So I'm going to give you pain. Pain is like, yes! You're not dreaming. This is happening right now. And then she goes, the truth hurts. And like, I'm going to give
you a huge dose
of it. I loved every. Just that was her mode of transportation, is punching the crap out of him into the next scene. I loved it. She was so good. She would use her evil voice.
I'm the ghost of Christmas present.
I had a funny feeling. Why did you do that?
Sometimes you have to slap them in the face just to get their attention.
Fine. Slap me in the face. But you kicked me in the wall.
Frank, it's time to begin the journey. Now, close. close your eyes and think.
No. You close your eyes.
Oh, no.
I'm through.
Don't be quarrelsome. Close your eyes and think of snowflakes and moonbeams and whiskers on kittens. No picking!
I love when her evil voice comes out. It always comes out at least once in every movie she's in.
And the contrast of her bubbly voice and personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Close your eyes, Frank! Yeah. Close your eyes, Frank!
And evidently, she did rip Bill Murray's lip during this movie, and there had to have some days off because he was
swollen,
damaged. He was a little damaged from her. I wonder if he went after her on set, really gave it to her on the next time they got together. I hope she punched him a little more. Also, somebody we really didn't bring up too much, Rob did mention her, Claire. This is our Indiana Jones love interest. Pulled it off really well as this starry-eyed, you know, hopeful character.
Dharma and Greg. Very Dharma and Greg.
You know what I was also getting with her? She reminded me of Lois Lane, the actress who played Lois Lane in Superman movies. Margaret Kidder, thank you, who went crazy years later and was naked in the garbage and things like that.
It happens.
It happens, you know, it happens. Very starry-eyed. I believed her. I believed her in every scene of this movie that she was this character. Allen.
This woman was real. She's just a real woman.
I have been thinking a lot about the past. And you know, when that happens, you start thinking to yourself, well, I've made a lot of decisions, you know. Yeah. And what would have happened if I had made different decisions? Do you know what I mean?
Are you talking about regret?
Yeah, I'm talking about regret. Yeah.
Well, you know, the one good thing about regret is that it's never too late. You can always change if you want to. I deal with that every day.
Okay, well, deal with this. I want to take you someplace right now and eat Chinese food.
They could have hired models. They could have hired all of these, like, you know, stars or whatever that would give us the sexual pizzazz. But like, she's just a real woman. I just love that. You know, she, you know, Lumpy gets hit on at the office party. And the contrast between her, who was this like sort of bombshell of the office, to just this woman who was just chill and real. Like, even in their apartment, I was just like, this is just a humble, like, grounded couple. And I loved that about the two of them being together. But she's just a real chick. So I like her in this movie a lot.
And I do like what she brings out in Frank's character. Like their first Christmas where he wasn't used to getting presents and, you know, he gave her a knife set.
Yeah. I would love a knife set.
To me, that was to show what? That he, you know, he didn't really, it's practical. He didn't really know how to give, you know, personalized gifts because he didn't grow up with that kind of thing. And I felt that. Like, I believed that. So I have to give it to them.
Well, when can we open these?
You can open one on Christmas Eve. That's what we always did in my family. You have to wait until Christmas morning to open this. Isn't that what you did?
Well, if it were going to spoil, we opened it the night before.
If we did get a sex pot actress that was glamorous, would we believe them with Bill Murray anyway, though? I don't think he's
a bad looking. Well, but she was with him. She was with him before he had money. That's the thing.
Yes, exactly. And
he was playing a dog on a kid's show. Okay, I have a question for both of you. If it was Christmas Eve and your boss, the head of the network, invited you to a party and you thought this could be your big break as a partner to somebody, even though it would disappoint your friends, would you maybe even say, oh, I'll split up the time. Can we just tell our friends that something came up? I'm going to be running late and try to split it
hard.
Up.
Ryan, you go. Because mine is my answer. I love this question.
If that's your plans with your friends and they're waiting for you and that was your plans, I can't think you could cancel on them, honestly. I think that would be horrible.
The president of the network just invited us to dinner.
Oh, no, we can't tonight. We're going to David and Kate's for dinner. We planned it for a month.
Well, you can't expect a man like this to make plans a month in advance. We can have dinner with them next week.
Next week? It's Christmas Eve. They're our best friends. It only comes once a year.
Thanks, Philbin. Yeah, it is Christmas. It's a time to be a little bit less selfish, you know? Maybe if you could put my needs and the needs of the Frisbee show ahead of your own needs. I mean, I have been fighting for the integrity of this show. This is the opportunity of a lifetime.
I'm sorry. I guess I didn't realize how important it is to you.
Well, I'm willing to forgive you once in a while. I am.
Frank, look, maybe we should
separate for a while.
I get the whole boss thing, but yes, maybe if he could have just said, I have plans, but I will go for a drink with you and then I will leave and I have to go to my friends.
So I might be a little different from answering this question only because, you know, the holidays and whatnot, it's whatever. So in the context of what was shown in the movie, I think that him wanting to go to this business meeting was justified. But here's the thing. This was not a one-time, okay, I'm done with you thing. This is something that has probably been happening a lot. And so if he has a history of putting his job over his woman, then yes, I love the fact that she stood her ground and was like, no, we're not doing this. We planned it for a month. Clearly, it's hard to make plans with you or with their friends. Yeah. And if there are his best friends, which we didn't get to see, it seems like they were her best friends and he is just there. But I'm not saying he doesn't like them. My thing is, I feel like this is something that has been going on for a minute. So I understand why she's so, you know, like pushed back on it. But my thing is, if I have friends who really need me to be there for Christmas, and I'm not going to celebrate and encourage this man to go for that money, that bag, like what kind of, I don't know. I would kind of question the friends a little bit. Who's going to hold somebody back from a job opportunity to uplift them financially? Well,
yeah, that is true.
I mean, there's no guarantee that this meeting was that meeting. I think it was that meeting, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was a catalyst to the next meeting. Who knows? And I hate to say, like, it's, I've come to sort of a point in my life where it's like, if I don't celebrate my birthday on my birthday, I'm not going to get angry about it, right? If it gets celebrated at all, like, I'm appreciative of that. It doesn't happen on the day. As adults, there is just no way time works that way. It just doesn't anymore. I love the fact that there are people out there who really are, have the folks in their lives that are like, drop everything, it's my friend's day. But it just doesn't work that way most of the time. And I think that true friends would have understood, I'm trying to get us out of the, you know, the slums. I'm trying to make some money for my family. And, oh, it's Christmas Eve, you should be with us. But the way that he handled it, wrong. Absolutely wrong. Literally looked her in the face and was like, yeah, I'll forgive you sometimes. And I'm like, dude, you are not self-aware of what you just did. I think the way he handled it was horrible. And I would have dumped him too, but I would have taken the meeting. Sorry. I would have
Lumpy.
I love my friends, but I would have taken that meeting. It's a once in a lifetime thing. It just sucks that he's been doing it for a while. That's the other thing.
Ooh. Okay. See, now you gave me a whole other side to this whole thing. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah, honestly, if it was me, if I was the friend, I would understand for sure. But though on the opposite side, I would be worried about upsetting the friend too. So I would be in the both positions. But totally. I mean, if they said, oh my God, guess what? Frank has a meet total. I've been like, oh my God, yes. Merry Christmas. Celebrate.
You'll be missed, but yes.
No, but did he end up coming later like he did with the dog costume? He said he'll try to come later. No. Okay. So
because
there
they
you
broke
go.
Up. Because they broke up at that point.
Okay, she said Merry Christmas.
She
like
walked
when he
away.
Didn't hear it.
No, that
she
was
said Merry Christmas, Frank.
Oh, is that what she said? Merry. Oh. All right. You know what? But though, if he did show up later, would she have taken him back?
Well, I mean, you would just think of the aftermath. I mean, here's the start of something that I'm going to have to get used to for the rest of our relationship. You know, like this is him just being on a TV show, going to meetings. Now, when you really have the position and power, you think he's going to have time to do all that? He is going to get hungry, and he's going to
yes.
doing it and getting more. And she just has a different outlook. She'd rather be poor helping people rather than rich and doing her own thing and uplifting her life. She always put others in front of her. And so in that moment, she was like, we have to do this for our friends. I don't care about the money. And that's the other thing too. It's that they probably had different views on what happiness it was. And she didn't care, but he just had too many ambitions to.
Perfect. Yeah. Honestly, perfectly said.
So I have another question for you, both of you. So at the end of the movie, Frank goes through this thing. So he does the classic. He has the Christmas past, the Christmas present, and then we go to the future. And in the future, we have a funeral scene, actually a very dramatic scene where
yes.
you first see Wendy and at a crematorium.
Yes.
And you see Frank going, my brother has passed away. Why, you know, like he's like, maybe he should, like cholesterol or something. He's talking about something. I don't know. So, and then you find out that it's actually Frank. His brother steps in, and then Frank is actually in the coffin.
Oh, yeah.
And he's burning up, and he's like, don't let them burn me. He's screaming to his brother. Very traumatic, actually really amazingly done. So we have the scene. I'm going to bring it back. So I wanted to say that because you have a point at the very end of the movie where Frank is talking about the feeling of Christmas. And it doesn't have to be just on one day. If you want that feeling, you'll want it every day. It won't just be, you won't be one of these people that just Christmas is stupid or whatever. You'll want it every day, and you'll basically work to have that feeling and to do the right thing every single day of your life.
I get it now. And if you give, then it can happen. Then the miracle can happen to you. It's not just the poor and the hungry. It's everybody who's got to have this miracle. And it can happen tonight for all of you. If you believe in this spirit thing, the miracle will happen, and then you'll want it to happen again tomorrow. You won't be one of these bastards who says Christmas is once a year and it's a fraud. It's not. It can happen every day. You just gotta want that feeling. And if you like it and you want it, you'll get greedy for it. You'll want it every day of your life, and it can happen to you. I believe in it now. I believe it's gonna happen to me now. I'm ready for it. And it's great. It's a good feeling. It's really better than I felt in a long time.
Going back to Claire now, being that he was with her before he became into this money, even though he was driven, he had the feeling of the love that he had from her, the belonging, and actually kind of got comfortable in having the love and understanding and apparently the great sex with the Kama Sutra. That they
have. Oh, shoot.
Why would you not want to have both? And why would you not be able to have both? And then I'm going to add another part to this question, a second part of it. After realizing he lost her and potentially getting her back again, why did he not at that point say, okay, I already made it. I'm rich. I can now reconnect with this person at this point, as opposed to having to go through everything else. So I'm asking two questions. At the time in his life when he knew he could have her and have a career, why did he screw it up? And then secondly, when he already had the career and now he was able to reconnect while this other stuff was going on, he was learning his lessons. Why did he screw it up yet again? He could have bought and sold. He meets her at like a homeless shelter that she's... He could have bought and sold that place with the money he had. Why did he not... Say,
but he didn't even think of it at that point. That's the thing.
I could have it all at this point. So those are the two questions. Because that's what kind of hurt me the most about the whole thing. There were certain points that really hurt me, like just for the characters and the situation. And then obviously when he actually found people from the shelter that he was talking to, they froze to death.
Including the mother, brother from the Goonies. Speaking of the Goonies, was that the mobster mother from the Goonies?
Yes, Mama.
Yeah, I mean, this calls for a lot of, you know, backstory and whatnot that we didn't get in the movie. I feel that over time, when you get into this sort of career aspiration, that he just got so embedded on making money and shielding himself from any type of love that he just became stuck and obsessed with power. I also feel that he never wanted to be his dad, who is just double timing it, always getting into me, just never being able to provide or being able to buy him nice things. I think he's still a child, you know, still kind of growing up. And, you know, not to say that he's out there literally buying toys, but he clearly was robbed of a normal childhood, I guess you can say. And so he's just kind of stuck, and he's found something that's worked. It's one of those things where it's just like, oh, you've never had sleepovers as a kid. Well, I don't want you getting kidnapped. Well, did you get kidnapped? There you go. My way works. So he found his one thing that made it work for him, and he never really entertained any other possible balance between his love life and his work. And I don't know. I do see what you're saying, David, because he could have it both if he had chose to have both. That scene where he goes off on staff, that to me is just about what respect looks like to him. It's not about caring. It's about fear. And it's about, you are going to do as I say, because that's just how the world works, right? There's none of this in the middle. I'm the boss. You are the employee. You can come with me and have food right now. Why do you always have to put put somebody above you. And I think that's what he was trying to get her to realize, is that anytime somebody needs you, you jump at the drop of a hat and you never get what you want, which is coming out with me right now. And you have the power to do it, but you won't use it. And I think that's where he got pissed. You're not meeting me at my level. And I'm trying to tell you, this is how things are done in the real world. Get other people to do it and you can have the life that you want. And it just reminded him, like, oh, you care too much and I don't want to get into that with you. So that's how I see it from what we were given in the movie.
Wow.
It doesn't make sense. It's so dumb, but that's just how his mind works. He's not open-minded to other types of ideas. So
I don't even think I can come close to what Rob said, but I'll
no, it's beautifully said.
I'll just agree and just say that I think it was time too. And when Rob said he's like stuck in this childlike pattern, I think 100%.
Yeah, he wasn't really taught to be empathetic. Like, he had to develop all of that stuff on his own, and he hasn't really learned how helping people could be beneficial. Oh my God, the freaking slap in the face of that horrible speech he gave, and then leaves the award in a taxi cab. Like, that was nail in the coffin. Dude was like, it's time to visit you because you are just off. This is like a string of events that have led up to you leaving an award. Like, that was messed up. The way that he just literally just went back to work, started working again, like he just does not care.
That's exactly it. He needed to learn these lessons because there's no other way he would have continued to do exactly what he was going to do.
Have a Merry Christmas, everybody.
Did I forget something, big man?
God blesses everyone.
This is really fascinating. Filming began in December of 1987. With Christmas approaching, director Richard Donner asked if the production could have Christmas Day off. Paramount Pictures refused.
Scrooges.
Exactly. What this is like the real life movie. Insisting that the filming should continue on Christmas Day, Donner outwitted them at the end of the day on December 24th. He fired the entire cast and crew, and 2 days later, on December 26th, rehired everyone. The break allowed the cast and crew members to spend Christmas with their families. I think that's wonderful, but I have a lot of questions because to me, firing and rehiring people in 2 days, it would be like a whole thing. I feel like the studio just was like, oh, whatever, after that point, and just did it, because firing, rehiring, it would take a million years to get this movie back together. So really interesting, though.
I think because of the holiday, you have no HR, maybe, because of those same people that would make you work are the ones going out and celebrating the holiday while you're. So there would be nobody to fill out the paper. It would almost be like, I just said to you, you're fired, and you walk away and you don't have any paperwork. And then I didn't put the paperwork in, so it was just word of mouth, you're fired, and then you just come back. So that's probably, that was the way around it.
By the way, that was Mary Ellen Trainor, David. You mentioned her when we did the Monster Squad, because she also played the mother in the Monster Squad.
No relation to Meghan Trainor?
No, you did look the last time. What do you think? I just have to ask you guys about the feed me more, see more, feed me more. I mean, we understand it because of the connection, of course, to Little Shop of Horrors. But anyone else in the world be like, what? What are you saying? Feed me more, see more, feed me more.
Yeah, they were very confused by that line. I don't know if they were, I want to say that they were closely filmed together. No, I mean, because this movie came out 2 years after. I don't know if it was like a connection with production or just that it's fresh in his mind, or maybe the success of Little Shop was still kind of fresh. But yeah, it was just sort of a nod to be like, yeah, I was in that movie too. That's kind of all it was.
I wanted to clear something up. So when I said about the end, I didn't like, wasn't believable or something. What I meant really was that stuff, like the initial part when he starts this jovial, like the singing stuff and like kidding around and stuff, it didn't feel genuine to me. When he got into like the kind of crying part though, like, I don't know if that was before or after, I felt that, but I didn't. And when the little boy says, and you have to say, God bless us, everyone, was, you know, the the cherry on the cake, of course. I didn't feel it when he was like, come on, and you over there, and you're going to sing too. And oh, and there's a tradition. I have to kiss this woman under this mistletoe. I thought it was cheesy and stupid, and it came off very disingenuous because his character, I get it, but it didn't, for me, it was like his character is too staunch, even though he was changing and growing as a person. It didn't convey. When he was upset and crying, it was more believable. But that other part was kind of like, eh. He was joking around.
I will say this. I will give you the benefit of the doubt on that. I think that that small portion was a little rushed and too jolly. I think that if he had kept that same manic happiness that he had with Loudermilk, our Bobcat, all of that, just that zany stuff of just taking over and just being so like swinging with the arms and grabbing the gun. That is Bill Murray jolly for me. And then I think the only thing that to your point, felt legit was when he pretended to drop the baby. I think that is very Bill Murray. That whole joke, when he tried to liven
up. Forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, he just, ooh, I forget, you know, the baby's fake and they all laugh and he's like, oh, it's a Christmas party. You know, that I think was Bill Murray, but anything before, I can definitely see where you're coming from that angle. But I wish he had come out with that same like, oh, I'm going to give you this and blah, blah, blah. I wish he had just come out.
Yes.
I wanted to hear him say, woman, you have the raise. I'm going to hook you up with a house, like something for his assistant. I wanted those.
I treated you like garbage for all these years.
Yeah, I did honestly want all of that, to be honest, just him going one by one to everyone. But no, I totally get it.
She didn't even get a damn VCR. I would have given myself a VCR.
I was going to say, honestly, I kept thinking, Grace, I hope you sent yourself one too.
Which I love. It's something that I didn't catch before. When he was like rushing to his meeting with, you know, the boss and he's like, towel, 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 VHS. He goes, most of these are towels. You're allowed to mess up one. That's what he said. Oh. And so she decided to use that and give the VCR to his brother.
Didn't even think of that, Rob. Yeah. Wow. It shows how giving she is as well. I mean, we're a broken record with this, but I highly recommend it this Christmas season. Watch this over.
It was so good.
Over the Muppets. Although, listen to our episode from last year.
Don't get screwed. It's Scrooged.
At the moment, it is on Prime. I believe it's on Paramount Plus as well. Other than that, you might catch it on some channel apps here and there, but
on Pluto for free too, by the way, Pluto TV.
But yeah, right now I'm sure for the holidays it'll be available. Look, my traditions usually are, I don't want to say anti-Christmas, right? But these are not the jolly, happy, let's have a lot of snow, happy-go-lucky films. Like I'm watching the dark stuff. I'm watching the Gremlins, you know, like stuff like that. That is where my Christmas spirit goes. And that's just, it's just half and half of what I really enjoy in movies and giving you the holiday cheer. So that's where. So, I mean, if that is you, then yeah, Scrooge is definitely something you should always put on your roster each year.
Along those lines, Rob and Radical Ones, do you have any recommendations for us today?
Rob's recommendations.
I do. Now, a lot of the films that I would have recommended everyone to watch based on this movie have already been taken. This is classic Tim Burton. This is classic dark comedy. This is classic, you know, supernatural, ghostly. There's so many that I could give you. So I tried to think a little bit out of the box and sort of a reminder of some other stuff that have been out. The first one that I'm going to say is if you liked this style of storytelling, modern adaptations of classic movies, this one you may get a little chuckle out of, and that is Ghost of Ex-Girlfriend's Past. This is Matthew McConaughey as he is visited by three ghosts teaching him how to be a loving boyfriend, because no matter how good you look, this man will always be casted as the worst womanizer ever. He's just horrible. But this movie does give you a little bit of a chuckle. And I think this would be a nice film to watch to give you that Christmas Carol feeling.
All right, all right, all right.
The next movie I'm going to recommend is a Christmas movie. It is a little grittier than Scrooge. So if you want to still go down that path of keeping it sort of real and sort of showing the darker side of Christmas, especially in the corporate world, I'm going to recommend 1985 Santa Claus, the movie with Dudley Moore and John Lithgow.
My God.
Yeah, this movie is dark. It is so dark with the whole idea of what Santa is and stuff. I mean, this is a movie that I did watch a few times back in the day. I don't remember it being funny, so it's not something that I repeatedly want to watch when I got older, but I remember that it was one of those, it's like the Return of Oz of Christmas movies. It just, the you get all of these happy Santa Claus movies, and then bam, you're just given this darker, grittier side of Christmas. So Santa Claus, the movie, folks, watch a trailer. You'll know if it's for you. The last movie I'm going to recommend, if you did like the movie, would have been Gremlins, but I've already recommended that in the past. So I'm going to say Gremlins 2. Gremlins 2 is just as zany and wackadoodle as Scrooged, and you'll also see a familiar face in both movies, and that is John Glover, who played our job-stealing executive in Scrooge, but in Gremlins 2, I believe he plays a scientist or something? I can't remember. But yeah, so that is my recommendation if you did like Scrooge. Now, if you didn't like Scrooge and you want something a different, I went sort of the Christmas sort of rated R side of things. I think that these movies are fun to watch, still giving the Christmas theme, but also just turning it on its head. This one came out just a couple of years ago, so it's still pretty fresh. It's called Violent Night.
Yes.
This is David Harbour, who is famously for Stranger Things. He plays Santa Claus with actual magical powers, who delivers a present to this specific house that happens to be in the middle of a hostage situation. And so he has to deal with everything that's going on in the house to save this little girl. And it is so good. It's Home Alone with like Saw, and it's shows Santa Claus in a light that you've never seen before. I just think this movie is great. So if you want something completely different than what you're used to on Christmas holiday films, watch Violent Night. It is so funny. The next one I'm going to recommend also just came out probably a year ago. This is again another adaptation to an old Christmas classic, It's a Wonderful Life. This one is called It's a Wonderful Knife. It is a slasher movie that took the plot of It's a Wonderful Life and turned it into a slasher. The dialogue is here or there, but I just think the concept and the idea is brilliant. You've got Justin Long playing another one of his like unique characters. And I think it's a fun slasher. So I would give that a shot. You can practically watch this anywhere for free, I think. I think it's currently on Hulu right now. So give that a shot if you have not heard of it nor seen it before. The last one I'm going to recommend is A Christmas Horror Story, which tried to gain sort of the success of American Horror Story.
And I was just going to say, my gosh.
This is an anthology movie which tells tales of Christmas done in more of a horrific sort of way. Krampus is involved, changelings are involved, you know, like zombie elves, things like that. And I think that these stories were sort of done in a dark comedy sort of way. It's not super horror. It is, you know, monstrous and kind of gory, but it's still done in this way that I think you can appreciate while, you know, keeping it sort of lighthearted in a way as well. I just think the stories on here are unique. I enjoyed this movie. I thought it was pretty good. All three tales, I think there was three or four, were pretty good. So yeah, those are my recommendations for Scrooge. The inspirational movie that I found that I have yet to see that I want to see based on Scrooge. Has any of you ever heard of Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale?
I have heard the name, but I don't know what it's about.
Okay, so this movie is from Finland. It's a Finnish movie, and it basically sort of tells you, like, we have the Santa Claus as we know him right now. This movie sort of talks about who Santa Claus really is, which is a demon. Somebody had captured Santa Claus, put him in a box, and had him shipped or exported into this country, and accidentally he is let out, and so Santa Claus is going after all of of its workers and residents that are like in the vicinity. I keep starting this movie and I never finish it.
The picture looks.
Yeah, it's like they have Santa Claus as a like messed up. Like this is a complete different take on who Santa Claus is really based on. And, you know, it's scary in a way. But yeah, they have them as this monstrous sort of demon like character. I just keep meaning to watch it and I won't finish it. But I hope that I can do it this year. I may give it another shot. It is subtitled. It is not dubbed for English. So if you're okay with, you know, subtitled films, I would definitely check this out. But I'm definitely going to try and check it out myself. One small honorable mention, because this almost made my list, but I took it out for a different movie. Bobcat Goldthwait, I want you guys to sort of see another movie with him in it. I really, really enjoyed this movie as a kid. It's called Hot to Trot. It's a funny, wacky comedy with a very unique story, but also feels very adaptated from Mr. Ed, because it involves him finding out that a horse that can talk has great stock advice. And so he works with this horse to gain money and status in his stock market job. Now, the voice of the horse is none other than John Candy.
Aww. I love this cover. My God.
So this is a man who got leading roles back in the day, and I think that people should be more exposed to Bobcat. If you liked his role in Scrooge, watch Hot to Trot. I think it's funny.
The cover of this Hot to Trot is worth it just on its own. It has a horse sitting at a, well, it's two different ones, but there's a horse sitting at a desk. I love this. And you know, Rob, our radical ones do seem to like the horror side of things. That or I keep forcing them to be, because I always make us watch horror movies. But sure. I really think they would appreciate this, because we do have a lot of horror fans that listen. And these are Christmas mixed with a little terror. Radical ones, we wish you a happy holiday, a Merry Christmas. Every holiday you celebrate, we're so thankful for having you.
Happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, happy solstice. If you're not celebrating, whatever, happy not celebrating.
Yeah, happy time off, as David always says. Happy time off.
Happy bonus.
Everyone will be getting towels this year and face cloths.
So. Well, you're supposed to start singing, think of your fellow man, give him a helping hand.
Rob, when you're not hanging out over here, where can the lovely people find you at?
There is another Instagram page that I do have. It has some archived movie reviews. I think you'd have a good time going through that list. It's Rob the Movie Geek, all one word.
And you could always find David at Universal Appeal 2020, all one word. And the Radical Retro Rewind Podcast, one word, on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and beyond. Thank you again for being with us this holiday season, this year so far. If you have it in your heart to leave us a bonus, which would be a written review on Apple, we would greatly appreciate that. And it truly helps spread the love and the news of the podcast.
Give us a like, follow, tell a friend.
If I have the time with the traveling, I'm going back and forth to Arizona. We did record those Dark Shadows reviews a year ago in a week.
That was a tale to tell. That was Silent Night, Deadly Night right there.
That was just sitting there. And it has helped out lately because of Thundercats being delayed. But, you know, if I have time, I might throw that in the last week to give you something, because technically now it's a break. Thank you both for being here, gentlemen. And it's amazing to have another Christmas episode with the two of you here, warming my heart.
It's nice to be warming.
It's always a joy to review with all three of us together. So
it is.
Thank you again. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and we will see you all in the new year. Stay radical.
And the world will be a better place. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.